Now, I'm just going to do the reading before Pete comes up and shares what he has to share with us this morning. And our reading today is from Romans chapter 15, verses 4 to 13. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepts you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth to confirm the promises made in the patriarchs, so that the Gentiles may glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, "Therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles, I will sing hymns to your name." Again it says, "Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people." And again, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and sing praises to him, all you peoples." And again Isaiah says, "The root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. The Gentiles will hope in him." May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, Pete.
So, for those of you who don't know, my name is Pete, and it's my privilege and honour to coordinate what we as a church, or you as a church, are doing with other churches to love the community. What we're trying to do to share Jesus' love, joy, peace and hope to those that don't know him. The people that are not being reached to by the church at the moment, and the people that are maybe far, far away from Jesus. So it's going to be a privilege just to share about hope, the theme of hope today, and then weaving into that and ending with talking about some of the exciting things that we get to do as churches of Newport together. Christmas is a great time for kids, right? I have 2 3-year-olds. And a 5-year-old, all boys, and they love Christmas. They have so much excitement, joy, and hope for Christmas. It is unbelievable. I think that in the last 3 years, there has not been a week gone by that my older son Sebastian has not mentioned Christmas at some point. In fact, that he goes to sleep with his like Santa sack basically every night, all year, all round, and we put some Christmas lights around his room, these sparkly lights, and they've never ever come down. And so a month ago, my wife's birthday is on the 21st of November. And so we said to them that they have to wait till after Mummy's birthday, and then we can start decorating the house. But they were so excited. I think we ended up buying some little Christmas, cheap Christmas trees for their room and getting them up even before that. And then on the day, it's like, "Happy birthday, Mummy." So we're decorating for Christmas tomorrow. Yes? So they're just so excited, so hopeful of all the things. Christmas is a time, isn't it, of hope. Hope that we might get something nice for Christmas. The present that we bought for someone will be well received and a real blessing. Hope that we'll get to spend some nice time with our family and create some fond memories. And obviously, as Christians, we celebrate the hope that Jesus brought when he came to earth as a baby to spend time on earth, fulfilling everything that the Old Testament had prophesied about and bringing us salvation. Without him, we could not have hope. Without him, we could not be here today talking about and learning about God. Sometimes in life, though, it gets quite hard to have hope. I don't know about you, but sometimes life can be really challenging and really difficult. And these last 3-4 years, with twins, And Paulie twins and lots of hospital trips and lots of Paulie things and stuff. It can be quite challenging when you're sleep deprived and your kids are struggling and they're a little bit difficult. Sometimes the hope can drain out of you. Over half term, so a few weeks ago, all of our kids got ill and they all needed to have antibiotics. And so there's been some amazing rule that they can't put sugar in antibiotics anymore, so it tastes disgusting. But you still have to do it 4 times a day for 14 days. Or was it 10 days? One of those. A long time. I think it's 14 days. I've got 3 children. That's 12 doses of antibiotics a day. And my kids, you know, they've been in hospital, you know, you put a needle in them, cannulate them, that's absolutely fine, they don't really flinch. Try to get medicine in them, they become this really, really strong little baby that can push you. We've had to go to the hospital 3 times in the last couple of months since then, and at one point we were saying to our Leo, who's poorly at the moment actually, you need to take this medicine. If you don't take this medicine, you are going to have to stay in hospital, and they're going to have to. You're going to have to stay there. Like, no, I want to go home. But would he take it? No. In fact, there were 3 nurses and a doctor in there. They made me and Nikki go out, and I could hear him kick and scream. And they like gave up after half an hour because they were. One of them was just covered in cowpaw because he just spitted and stuff. So can you imagine after doing this for a few days and just like. Oh man, I've got to put this medicine in my child. And it's so hard to have hope that you can get through this. And I remember one time we were just at the end of our tether, and our 6-year-old, we put it in the chocolate shot, and he's been okay in the past, but at the moment he wasn't. And we gave it to him, and he just took it. Just took it. And I'm like, what? You've just taken it? This is amazing. And just that little thing, me and my wife sat on the kitchen floor because that's where we were trying to do it. Just like, a little tear came to our eye, a little glimmer of hope that we can get through this, because at least one of the 140 times I need to put medicine in my child, had come out. In life, I feel that there's lots of things that come along and challenge us and try and take away our hope. Some difficulties that take away our hope. But it's interesting from reading the Bible that at sometimes it's those challenges and those difficult times that give us hope. We get hope. So when we become a Christian, we choose to put our faith in God, don't we? God reveals himself, so we put our faith in God. And as a result of that, God gives us the gift of hope. Through his Holy Spirit. He gives us joy and peace. And he gives us hope. There we go. I've really lost my train of thought at the moment. So I do apologise. I have been asleep not asleep on the sofa all night with my poorly child. So there we go. So anyway. So Jesus. So the problems of the world gives us difficulties and struggles, but the Bible teaches us in chapter 5 of Romans that actually it's those problems, or those persecutions and those difficulties and those times that teach us to persevere through those times. And it's that perseverance, not turning away from the left or the right, but pushing through those difficult times with God and with Jesus, that develops character. And as we develop character, we get hope. So that's where I was going with that. This passage says that as we put our faith and trust in the Bible, as the people who read the Old Testament put their faith, it says that the Bible's there to help us have encouragement and endurance. And that is a gift from God, the gift of encouragement and endurance. So when we go through these difficult times, when we go through these challenging times, then, and as we persevere with God through it, then we can have hope. And I don't know how hopeful you are feeling at the moment, but let me remind you that Jesus has come to earth to die and to give us life. That we are one day going to be free of pain and suffering, and we're going to be with Jesus. And that while we're here, that he promises to never leave us or forsake us, to carry us through these difficult and challenging times. And that he will work all things together for the good of those that love him, that he would turn our pain and our suffering into opportunities to learn and to grow and to serve and to see God's kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. As we lean on Jesus, as we do that, that we can see that. And that we can have then this hope that doesn't disappoint. Jesus' hope doesn't disappoint. And that really is the simple message that I want to bring from this passage, really. Just that God is here and he wants to give us hope. It says in verse 13, which is really like the key at the end, may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace as we trust in him. So as we trust in God, as we lean and press into God and trust in God, not turning to the left or to the right when we're going through our times, but leaning on God and trusting God. As we trust in him, he gives us joy and peace, and he gives us hope. We can learn and grow in hope. If you're struggling at the moment, God can give you more hope. He can give you the hope that we have. And I think sometimes we need to be reminded that we can have hope. And that we could because of Jesus. The other thing I think we sometimes need to remind is that other people don't have hope. Other people outside of our church don't have Jesus. And sometimes we can take for granted this God that we've got that helps us through these difficult times. And we forget that there's people out there that don't have hope. When my son misbehaves, which is on a fairly regular basis, if I really tell him off, it makes it worse. He just gets worse, and he does more things. And I tell him off, there's more things. It escalates. He can't get if as soon as he's done something bad, his temper's rise and he's lost it. He loses all hope of being good or doing good things, and he goes wrong. And I have to discipline. And I have to tell him off. And I said, if you do something wrong, I'm always going to tell you off. That's because I love you and I need to help you. But you need to remember that 90% of the time, you're an amazing boy. 90% of the time you do really good. I need to constantly remind him that actually he's a good boy. And he just sometimes loses his temper and kicks his brother and hurts people and does things that we would rather he didn't. But most of the time he's good. And if I focus on that, that can be good. With our youth club, I feel like we're working with a crazy bunch of young people that have no hope in anything. No hope in themselves. No hope in themselves. Lots of people come. There was a kid that was just shouting at cars, and we're like, we can't have you shouting at cars. This is really abusive, and he was like, I have autism. And I was like, okay, fine. There's still no excuse to shout at cars. You know, that doesn't affect the behaviour. But sometimes they get these labels that they label themselves. I have dyslexia. I have ADHD. They're not labels for me, though. They're things that I live with day in, day out. It's why I need to take the microphone off and walk around, because I'm not very good at keeping still. And I would be sit here in silence if I couldn't move around, because my brain doesn't work. It's just something I live with. It does sometimes make being angry a little bit harder to control, and stuff, but it's something I live with. And I feel like lots of people out there that we see have just no hope. They've got labels that they are bad, that they can't do well, and we have a real challenge at the youth club to try and discipline when they do wrong, which they do a lot, but also not to the point where they lose hope. We've always, like, if you ban them, if they do something naughty and then they tell us to, you know, something nasty, which they do, we ban them for a week. And then if they don't go away, we ban them for 2 weeks. And if they ban for 2 weeks, they might as well be forever. I've said to one young person, look, if you go away just for this night, you can come back in next session. But if you don't, I'm going to have to ban you for 2 weeks. And they just can't think beyond that. They can't logically process that thought. And so they spend... They've sometimes been banned for like 3 or 4 months just because they have to spend every single night outside our youth club in the freezing cold, even on their birthday, with nowhere else to go, which is kind of a little bit sad. I'd like to take it as an encouragement for us that we're doing some good work and they want to be here and want to be outside our club. But also I feel like we have a town of people that have no hope. And we shouldn't take for granted that we do have hope. And when we go and work with people, you know, you can't behave like a Christian unless you're a Christian. We have less of excuse for our bad behaviour than those that don't have Jesus. So that's my encouragement for you to if you're feeling unhopeful, to press into Jesus, to allow His Holy Spirit to give you joy and peace and endurance and character and hope. And dwell on that. Spend some time, if that's what you need. Spend some time reminding yourself of what the scripture's saying. There's a real link between trust and hope. Putting your trust that Jesus is in control. Putting your trust that what is said is true and is going to make sense. A lot of what I do because of what the Bible says, not because I'm seeing results from the work that I do in terms of revive stuff. I'm doing it because I trust the promises of God and that He's going to do what he's promised to do in the Bible. Having that trust gives us that hope, so lean on that. And then try and be a little bit understanding of the people that have no hope. And let's find ways of giving them hope. I really believe passionately about speaking to people's potential. So a lot of my young people, they've all been kicked out of school. They've spent half the time in isolation. It's chaos. We work closely with the police and the council, and they're finding that the kids are just climbing on the roofs, smashing walls. A couple of our kids got arrested because they were just smashing watermelons in the middle of a supermarket, just playing bowling with watermelons. They're not doing that for money, aren't they? They're not doing that to not get caught because they're doing it in public. They're just doing it to be a nuisance, and they don't care if they get caught, and they don't care if they get a criminal record. They don't care. They just don't care. That's the kind of young people that we have at our youth club and that are running the streets today. They have no hope. They have no belief in themselves, and we are. In some respects, starting to lose hope. You know, we have an Xbox and we have a hard drive stuck on the wall, and that got stolen. It was worth £100, and we were just like, there's only like, 50, you know, there was 19 young people in throughout the night. It's got to be one of those 15. One of them has stolen it, and it just that breaks your heart. Just like, we're doing all this stuff. We're giving them a place to go. We're valuing them. We're loving them. We're caring for them. We're, you know, this, that, and the other, and yeah, we're starting to lose hope. But I keep on reminding my team, guys, we have been giving these people, God has given us these people for a reason. And we're going to win. But this is a battle. And they might be trying to get in the club down. They might be trying to bring drugs in. They might be getting me complaints and having people telling me I should have a different job because I don't know how to look after and contain young people. And it might cause lots of some of myself included, some of the things the young people say to us is awful, really awful. One of the reasons I'm pleased I don't have a good memory is I can't remember what they said to me. But I remember at the time, I was like, I have never been spoken to that in my whole life. What are you calling me? What are you saying to me? So I can't remember what it was, but they're just nuts. But I have hope. I have hope that Jesus has called us to love the last, the least, and the lost. I have hope that as we love people, as we go and love people with Jesus, covered in the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, covered in prayer, as we love people, we make the invisible God visible. Because that's what the Bible says in 1 John 5, I think. And I have a belief that if we sow generously, we will reap generously. I believe that as we pray for opportunities, God will give us opportunities and we will see hundreds of thousands of people come to Jesus. Have we seen hundreds of thousands of people come to Jesus yet? No. Have we seen 20 people come to faith? Probably about that, yes. In the 10 years we've been doing it, that's cool. But I have to have faith. I have to have faith and I have to have hope that God is going to do things, that God is going to change our town, that as we, as the church, make a difference, as we go out there, we're going to do some good, we're going to do some cool stuff. On the flip side, I'll move on to just talking a bit about the work that we do, because it just happened to flown in. I was going to do it separated, but it just kind of flowed in with an illustration. But although it has been really difficult these last few months, we've had 219 members, people come through the door, different young people, this year. And the last month and a half, we haven't allowed any new people because it's just been too many. At one point, we had over 100 people through the door in that 1 week, and it was chaos. So people are coming, and although they're challenging, they are coming. And every time we ban people, they can't come back and without an reintegration. And so when we have a reintegration, we face them up to the thing that they've done wrong. This is what you said to our worker. You told her to. I can't say it in front of you or anyone else. Pardon? Yeah. That's a good way of putting it. Why did you say that? And then let's talk about that. And then with one girl, just all over the place, and just like wouldn't pass me in the street, wouldn't talk to me, that kind of stuff. And I'm just like, I just feel that you've had some crap happen to you in your life, and I feel that you're really hurting. And that you're using all these things to try and avoid that. And I believe that everyone in the world is just trying to make life suck that little bit less. And we're all using coping strategies, but the coping strategies you're using aren't going to work. Because you'll need more drugs. You'll need more feral activity. You'll need more this. You'll need more, and that won't work. What you need is to try and work out why you're hurting. And maybe you want to have some counselling, or maybe you want to talk to somebody, or maybe you want to do this, maybe you should be doing this. So we're having all these opportunities to talk to people. They come in and they talk to us about being put in isolation and all that kind of stuff, and we have an opportunity to talk more than ever to talk about education and their problem with education, and to talk about maybe helping them with their maths and their English and getting them and helping them, signposting them to the college and stuff, because like so many of them get kicked out of school, so many of them, the kids, as you would kind of maybe imagine. We've had so many opportunities to talk about moral things. They ask me about sex and drugs, and have you ever taken drugs? Have you ever got drunk? Have you ever, you know, blah, 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 when did you lose your virginity? All that kind of stuff. You know, the things that kids ask. That's one of the things I like about working with young people. They just ask, and they're honest. You never have to, like, sometimes too honest, but yeah. So we've had a really good opportunity to talk about that. We've had loads of opportunities to talk about behaviour, about why they behaved they were, and again, speaking to their potential. And we've had more opportunities than ever to talk about God. One of them just picked up one of the Bibles in the living room and started reading it. Do you know you're reading a Bible? I'm like, no, I didn't. I thought it was a bit deep. Do you know my name is, I'm named after someone in the Bible. I was like, oh, I didn't know. I said, do you know that they did this? And like, no, that's kind of cool. I think they switched off at that point. But is that the point? it's cool to have these kind of conversations about God. And so not all of them are kind of just random like that. But there's just loads of opportunities to talk about God. That I'm not saying any of them are close to coming, finding Jesus or whatever, but we're taking opportunities to... My theory about this is, if we weren't doing this work, then no one would be speaking to them, because they're out on the in the town, just hanging around and bouncing between people, and so I love the opportunities that we get to do that. So we do Newport Youth Cafe, which is that's what that's called, twice a week. We've been doing it for running it ourselves for nearly 10 years, and been involved in working with young people around the bus station for 16. The living room is the other project that we run, and that is where Castle Books used to be, which I know you guys know well. And we have the privilege and honour to run just a drop-in cafe there, which is now open 6 days a week from 9 until 2. We've got a couple of managers, some really good food and really good coffee, and we're getting about 100 people through the door each week. We have a pay-as-you-can, so things are priced a little bit less than it would be anywhere else. But on top of that, we have a pay-as-you-can. So there's one person that comes in and they just, we just say, look, just order anything you like. You don't have to try and barter with us or bargain with us. Have your coffee, have your meal, whatever you want. And then just pay, at the end of the day, just pay whatever you can afford. And she said, oh, yeah. And some people that we know can't afford that, then we've got to pay it forward thing so we can give it them for free. We have people come every day. We have people come every week. We have people just come just to sit there with us. We've got people, we pray all the time before and after we do, but we have like half an hour prayer meetings as a team after the living room, a couple of three times a week, depending on what we could do. And some of the customers are beginning to stay and join us, one of which is not a Christian and just loves the atmosphere, doesn't want to pray, but loves the peace that is there, and just likes to listen to the prayers that we say. That particular person went on an Alpha course with me, off the back of our conversations and stuff that we've had, and comes in every week, and we have good chats every week. And there's lots of needy people, a lot of people that need things, and it's just a space for people to come and be loved and to be looked after. And it's really cool. We've got like the Key Street Methodist Church. They run it on a Monday. They were thinking about last year when we were doing heat hubs, they were thinking about doing a heat hub in their church. And they were like, well, we might as well just do it with you. So they run it on a Monday, which is, I think, is pretty cool. And we're always encouraged, haven't we? Just, you know, this is not our cafe. This is the church cafe. So use it. You know, if you want to use it for something, then we'll make that happen. And so they use that, they're on Mondays, and they've been filtering into other days as well, because now we're doing 5 days a week. I think particularly Tuesdays and Fridays were quite short staff, shall we say. And we need people to make drinks and do washing up and sit and chat and listen and just be a friendly smiley face. So that's pretty cool. So it's really growing. We're having really good opportunities to listen to, pray and support people. So the only other project that we do at the moment is AOK. Once a month, we go around giving chocolate and flowers to people. And there's a little link to our website, which just says that you were given this because you are loved and valued. And we believe that you're special. And then we give it to them. We just said, well done. You're doing really well. You're doing brilliantly. Just a little word of encouragement and a gift of encouragement to try and give them some hope. That comes with different reactions. People cry. People like often say, you've no idea how much this means to me. And the simple thing as that makes a real difference. So in the past, we've done loads of other stuff. But since the pandemic, since having less money, less volunteers, since we're all a little bit tired. Sorry, but yes, I'm tired. Don't mean to mention that again, but I've got three small children. So we're doing. But what God keeps saying to us is, do not despise the day of small things. To just keep going, to be faithful, to make our number one priority as a team is our relationship with God, loving Him, being filled with the Holy Spirit, having our being filled with love, joy, peace, and hope. Pushing towards God through the persecution, developing our character, and then just being on fire for Jesus as we are with people. So just as I come into land, if there's any way that you would like to be involved, the main way that you can help us, and this is by far the most important, is prayer. We need people praying. And once a month we put out prayer letters. We have a prayer meeting a couple of three times a week. We've got like a prayer room above the living room that people can just go up, and whenever it's open, just go and use that space. There's some Bibles and some literature and stuff, and some sofas. You just come and pray. There's a prayer room that can be used. You can pray from home, but just pray for the work that we do. We are in a battle, and I think all of the team, we feel like we're in a battle, and we have challenges. When people come to work for Revive, I always say to them, like, this is not going to be an easy job. The hours are going to be long. The pay is not going to be as much as you're worth. And you're going to get attacked, and it's going to be difficult. It's going to be a struggle. It's like, we're going on a voyager, and we don't know if we're going to find land or not. You may die, but we're going to go for it anyway. We know we have hope that we are going to find land. We are going to find people. Hundreds of thousands of people come to Jesus through our work. We know that's going to happen. And we know that we hope that we're going to be alive to see it. Who knows? Maybe we'll die. Who knows? But that's not a bad thing, is it? If we go to see, be with Jesus. So I'm looking forward to that. But that's just an aside. So you can pray using the living room. It's really, really cool. We said we've got 100 people. We've got room for others. Just come in, grab some breakfast, grab some lunch, grab a coffee, meet up with your friends and just be there. It's really nice having some Christian, when people come in, little Christian groups come in, it adds to that atmosphere, and that's really good. So use that. And then the other ways you can go is just give and be involved and get involved with that. So that's it. My hope for today, though, is just to leave you with a reminder that Jesus loves you and that he wants to give you hope. He wants to give you joy and peace and hope, and to encourage you to, when times are difficult and when things are you're being stretched and the tiredness or the aches and pains and the struggles are just kind of getting the better of you, to turn to the Word of God, to turn to Jesus and allow him to give you peace. And allow him to give you hope. Hope is really key, I think, for us. And I think it's key for our town. I'm going to pray and hand over. Jesus, we love you. We thank you that you came to earth to bring us hope. To give us an opportunity to have a relationship with you. To have you, your Holy Spirit in our life. And access to all the things that having the Holy Spirit in our lives gives us. We talked about hope today, but we know that so much more. But we just pray, I just pray, Jesus, that you would fill us all with your hope today and allow us to be able to find ways of sharing that with other people, people that are lost. Amen. Thank you.